Let's go back now to Romans chapter 8. Being this that passage will go well with this text as well, and this message. Now, you know that the chapter divisions were put there by the translators. They were added. Makes it easy for us to find the text we're turning to, but they're sometimes not in a good place, and this is an example of that, because Romans 6, 7, and 8 all go together. There's no division here in the subject that Paul is declaring. He begins in Romans 8, verse 1, and he says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." When you see the word therefore, Brother Henry always used to say, you want to go back and see what it's there for. And if you go back to Romans 6, we find out there he told us that by the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, every regenerated believer became dead to sin and alive to God. We became free from our sin, justified from our sin, and we became free from sin's dominion over us whenever we're born of the Spirit of Christ. Doesn't mean we'd stop sinning. It means now we can actually believe and rest in Him, where before we couldn't because sin had dominion over us. Then he said in Romans 7, by the death and resurrection of Christ, every regenerated believer is also dead to the law, that we might be married to our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we now, by His grace, by Him producing fruit, can actually bring forth real, true, living, spiritual fruit, where we never did before. So he says now, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now we're going to come into this phrase several more times where he says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And my subject today is walking after the Spirit. What is that? What is it to walk after the Spirit? Well, immediately before our passage, he said that in verse 22, he said, verse Romans 7, 22, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. There's a new nature created in which God's people delight. We delight in the law of God. He says, but I see another law in my members, in my flesh, in my sin nature, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. My sin nature brings me into captivity. Truly brings me takes me captive so that I can't do what I want to do in my inner man. And so he says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's how I'm delivered. I'm delivered by God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The sweetest, most comforting thing for a believer, when we're in this warfare and we're our flesh and our new man are warring against each other and our flesh takes the new nature captive, overpowers our new man. The sweetest thing, brethren, is as we're experiencing this conflict that's going on, the Spirit of God quickens us in the inner man. He renews us in the inner man. The Spirit of God does. He does it through this gospel. He does it through the preaching of the Word. And He renews the inner man, renews us, reminds us, there's therefore now no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Because of what He's done for us, there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And that, brethren, is how we're turned from focusing on our flesh to spiritual things. We're turned from us to Christ and to rejoice in all that He's accomplished for us and all that He is for us. And that's how our flesh is mortified. That's how you treat your flesh as it's dead, as if it's dead, because it is dead. But the way you do that is by being turned by the Spirit to Christ to know what Christ has accomplished so that there's no condemnation. We begin to mourn over our sin, and we begin to be sorrowful over our sin, and we're truly mourning over it. And the Holy Spirit comforts us that there is no condemnation. And we find out it's true. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. We begin to hunger and thirst after righteousness. We begin to see that we're sinners and we can't do what we would, and we see Christ is all our righteousness. And yet this flesh overcomes us, our sin nature overcomes us, and we can't even look to Christ, much less do anything that's righteous ourselves. And the Spirit of God comes and quickens that inner man and fills you with this good news of what Christ has accomplished for you, and you find out it's true. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. But this is done by the Spirit. It's always done by the Spirit. All who are born again of the Spirit of God are in Christ Jesus. And we walk not after the flesh. We walk after the Spirit. This is so of everybody born of the Spirit of God. We do not walk after the flesh. We walk after the Spirit. By the Holy Spirit, true faith doesn't go on defending self and doesn't go on trying to cover up our own personal sins and doesn't go on trying to blame others and make excuses for ourselves. True faith doesn't run back to the law and continue in. It may do all of those things temporarily. But we can't continue in those things because the Spirit of God comes and mortifies that flesh and renews the inner man and brings us back to cast it all on Christ. This is what He does. He makes you cry out, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And then He shows you it's God through Christ Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, turning you to Christ. He's the one that delivers you. He delivered us on the cross. We're going to see this. He delivered us when He regenerated us the first time. But this is not something that stops being done. He continues to deliver us all the days we walk through this earth this same way, renewing our inward man by the Holy Spirit through the gospel, causing us to look to Christ. Here's what I want you to see, verse 2. He says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus." This is the gospel of Christ. The law there is the gospel of Christ Jesus. It's brought of the Holy Spirit. It's life in Christ Jesus. It's that incorruptible seed wherein we have life. "The gospel of Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death." That's from the law of commandments that I've broken, and it's also made me free from my sinful flesh. The law of sin and death is in both of those. It's in both of those. Now, here's what I want you to see. Here's the main thing. Through the hearing of the gospel, through the hearing of Christ's faithfulness, God the Holy Spirit gives us life in Christ. He gives us life in Christ. Makes us to behold there's no condemnation for them who are in Christ. He makes us free from the law of sin and death. And this is how we're continually delivered whenever the sin nature takes us captive. We're continually delivered this same way. Christ has saved us, He is saving us, and He shall save us. It's through this gospel. It's by the Holy Spirit. It's by Him showing us we have no condemnation. This is how He delivers us from the law of sin and death and brings us back to rejoice in Him and stay on Him. Now, this is what I want you to see. First, we'll look at the law of sin and death. And then, secondly, we'll look at the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And then, thirdly, the application. The law of sin and death is, first of all, the commandment of God that I broke in Adam. The law of sin and death is, first of all, the commandment I broke in Adam. That was a law, that was a legal covenant. And I broke that law when Adam broke that law. And so, whenever God gave the commandments at Mount Sinai, they were a law of sin and death to me. Because they showed my sin and they ministered death unto me. Paul said, when the Lord made the commandment come alive, Sin revived and I died. That's what it's given for, to minister death to His people. So, how am I delivered from it? Verse 3. What the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for a sacrifice for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now there was nothing wrong with the law of God. It's holy, just, and good. There's nothing wrong with the law of God. It's my sinful flesh that made me incapable of fulfilling the law. We saw last week, when we looked at this, we were guilty when He gave the law. We were already fallen in Adam. We were already guilty. He gave it to show us our guilt. But because that's the truth of us, because we are sinners, because we are condemned by the law, God had already purposed from eternity. He had already settled this matter from eternity. He already had chosen His Son to be our Savior from eternity. So when we fell in sin and when He gives this law to us, God had already determined beforehand that He would send His Son. And this is how we're delivered from that curse of the law. He sent His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. I think this is what I was trying to get at when I was preaching the other day about Emmanuel, God with us. It would be a step down for Him to be made like angels, like His elect angels. But at least they're holy and not sinful. But He took a step down in that He was made flesh like His people who are sinners. He came and looked like every other sinful man that walked this earth, though He knew no sin. You see what a step down that was? He was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. But we've seen it over and over again. I won't have you turn there, but Hebrews 2 tells us it was because it behooved Him in all points to be made like unto His brethren. So He came in the likeness of His brethren. And what did He come for? He came to make a sacrifice for sin. He came to offer His soul an offering on behalf of His people for sin. And the way He did that is by bearing the sin of His people, so that God's righteous and just to hold Him accountable in place of His people. And God poured out wrath on Him in our room instead. He bore the very curse that His people deserved. And so He made a sacrifice for our sin. And by doing that, He condemned our condemnation. That's the play on words that He's given us here. He condemned sin in the flesh. He condemned the condemnation so that we can't be condemned anymore. He did this in the flesh. And He did it that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now understand what that says. It says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, not by us. He's not saying here, this is what some say, that He did all this so that He regenerates you now, and now you can keep the law. When He says He writes His law in our hearts, and now we obey Him and we keep His statutes, He's talking about the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. He's talking about the law of love and the law of faith and the law of love. That's what He's talking about. Faith and love. A new law. A new covenant. And that's what we obey. We believe Christ. And He makes you to love your brethren. But what He's saying right here is, He came and laid down His life on the cross, fulfilled the law, honored the law, so that His righteousness could be made our righteousness through faith in Him. Through faith in Him. When we're regenerated by the Spirit of God and He brings you to believe on Christ, revealing to us that we have been made the righteousness of God in Christ, there is therefore now no condemnation. The only way there can be no condemnation is if we have fulfilled the righteousness of the law. And brethren, in Christ we have. We have established the law fully in Christ. That's what faith lays hold of. That's why I said in Romans 3:31, do we then make void the law through faith? That's what we're accused of. when we preach this message, people say, well, you're making void the law. You're antinomian. You're against the law. No! No. We're declaring what the Scriptures declare, that we do not make void the law through faith. God forbid. Yea, we establish the law through faith. Believing on Christ, God declares in our conscience, you are righteous. You are righteous because Christ fulfilled and established the law for us. It's only through faith that we establish it. So this is our song now, free from the law. Oh, happy condition. Jesus hath fled and there is remission. Cursed by the law, ruined by the fall, Christ hath redeemed us once for all. It's done. It's done. Now that's how we were delivered from the law of commandments. You know, Paul called it over in 2 Corinthians 3, he called it administration of death because it reveals our sin. So the law of commandments is the law of sin and death. We've been freed from it. We've been freed from it by Christ Jesus. All right? Now, secondly, we're delivered from the law of sin and death that's in our members because we're spiritually dead by nature. So we have to be delivered from the law of sin and death that's in our members. And that's also by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. In the new birth, it's through the preaching of the gospel. We're born of incorruptible seed. We're born of this word, which is by the gospel. Let me show you that real quick. I want you to see. 1 Peter chapter 1. And he puts both of these things together right here. Verse 18, he spoke about us being delivered from the law of commandments. As you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. And now he's going to tell us how we're delivered from the law of sin and death in our members. This is what we're about to see in Romans 8. Who by Him, who by Christ do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, how did we obey the truth? How did we do this? Through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren. There's going to be faith and love wherever God's created a new man. It's unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Now here's how it was accomplished. Here's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God. There's the incorruptible seed, the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. We had to be born because all flesh is grass. Now look down at verse 25. This word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. This is how we're born again. The gospel goes forth, preached, and it's through this preached word that the Holy Spirit plants the incorruptible seed in our heart and gives us life. Now that's what he's going to show us. Go back to Romans 8, 2. Romans 8, 2, he says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the gospel, the incorruptible seed, has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now we're looking at this law of sin and death in our members. He says in verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Now what does that mean? This is what 99.9% of religion is teaching poor sinners to do this morning. They're teaching sinners to keep your mind on your religious charade and all play all of your parts just right and keep up the charade. They're declaring to people they want you to memorize and know your system of doctrine. It might be TULIP. It might be free will works religion. But you got to know your system of doctrine. It's a system you want to memorize it. You want to know it. You want to be able to talk about grace and unconditional election and limited atonement. You want to be able to say these things. And then they preach the hearing of works to you, teaching you to mind the things of the flesh. All of this is the hearing of works. Even when they teach you the doctrine, they're teaching you just doctrine that you need to learn, that you need to know, that you need to be able to speak and regurgitate. And then, but the main point of the message is you want to have your mind on your flesh. You want to mind your morality. You want to mind, go back to the law and mind the law, mind the commandments, and mind your flesh, and mind, make sure that you're doing what the law says do and not doing what it says not do. You want to mind touch not, taste not, and handle not. You want to have your mind set on these things. And if you're on these things and you have your mind set on these things, they say you'll get holier and holier and holier until one day you're ripe for heaven. That's minding the things of the flesh. Yes, it includes worldly cares and all of the things that we have to take care of in this world. It takes in all of that. The lust of the flesh, the pride of the eyes, and the pride of life, all of that's included. It takes in men who just live for just gutter sins and back alley sins. But 99% of what Paul deals with in all his epistles is this minding of the flesh in religious things, in a show of religion. And that's the most damning, most harmful thing that you and I ever encounter, is that. So, he says, they that are after flesh, this is what they mind. This is what they want to mind. It's the flesh. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death. If you have your mind set on these things, it's death. Why? Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. You're very familiar with 1 Corinthians 2:14. It says the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. He doesn't receive them. He doesn't receive spiritual things. They're foolishness to him, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. The carnal mind hates God. The carnal mind hates God. The true God. The true God of this Bible. The carnal mind hates that God. The carnal mind will receive true doctrine as long as you make that knowledge of that true doctrine to be what is doing the saving. You see what I'm saying? As long he won't mind hearing limited atonement, as long as you make his knowing that doctrine to be the cause of his salvation. You're going to have to put it in his hands and he'll receive it. He'll receive it. But they always take you back to that law because... And here's the thing, that's not pleasing to God because the carnal mind's not subject to the law of God. Can't submit to the commandments of God, nor can he submit to the gospel of God. The carnal mind cannot in any way submit to the law of God. So then, verse 8 says, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. If I can't keep the commandments in perfect holiness and righteousness, and I can't bow to Christ to fulfill the law for his people. I can't do either one of those things. Then there's no way I can please God. I'm going to have to either keep the law perfectly with no sin to please God, or if I can't do that, I'm going to have to bow to Christ and cast all my care into his hand. And if I can't do that either, then I can't please God. Well, that's the carnal mind. Carnal mind can't do either one of these things. That's the law of sin and death that's in our members by nature. That's what we got to be delivered from. That's in me and you, and that's what we got to be delivered from. The worst thing in the world is when somebody thinks they've been delivered from this and they haven't been delivered from it. That's what Christ said. If the light that's in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? That's the hardest person there is that you ever see that God saves, because they're twice dead. They got a false confidence, and it's not a true confidence, and they don't know him. Only God can convince a man, any of us, to know him. But that's one right there that's a twice dead. Now look, through the preaching of this gospel of Christ, everywhere in the scriptures it tells us this is how it pleased God to save. He left men to themselves. He gave us plenty of proof to show that man by his own wisdom cannot find God. He cannot come to God. And that was wisdom of God. In his wisdom, He showed us that the world by its wisdom cannot, by its searching and all, it cannot find God. And so it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. This is how the means He chose to administer the incorruptible seed. This means right here. And He says, through the law of the Spirit in life, through the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Right now, you that's been born again of the incorruptible seed, you that's been born of the Word, of the Holy Spirit, your mind is set on spiritual things. Verse 5, the second part says, but they that are after the Spirit, mind the things of the Spirit. Go over there to 1 Corinthians 2. I want you to see this. 1 Corinthians 2. He says there in verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world. And let me point out, y'all heard, I watched the message Thursday, and Kevin did a good illustration on that. If you pour water into that glass right there, that water's receiving it. Now that glass is receiving it. The glass didn't do a thing. It received the water. That's what he's talking about here. We received the Spirit. The Spirit came into us irresistibly. That's how you received it. Now, we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. That little S Spirit is because He put a new Spirit in you by the capital S Holy Spirit. And it's that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Have you noticed that when you listen to some messages and it sounds like they're speaking a different language? And you listen to the message that blesses your heart, and it's all Scripture, it's comparing Scripture with Scripture, it gets right to Christ, it's taken up with spiritual things. The other message is minding earthly things, it's pointing you to you. And they even use different language the way they preach. It's a heady intellectualism that's impressive to the flesh. Now look at this, verse 15. And you that are spiritual, you judge all things. That means you discern all things. Yet you yourself are discerned of no unregenerate man. And he doesn't, and that next verse is saying, the unregenerate man does not have the mind of the Spirit that he might be instructed by the Spirit. He doesn't have the mind of the Spirit to be instructed by the Spirit, but you have the mind of Christ. That's the difference. He's given you a new mind, a new heart, a new spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit you may have heard the preacher speak this admonition. You may have heard your brethren talk about this admonition. When the Holy Spirit has begotten you again, and He's planted this incorruptible seed in your heart, and Christ speaks this admonition, and He speaks it effectually, and He commands you, and He says, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Set your affection, singular, all your affection, singular, on the things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you appear with Him in glory. And then the very next word says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. And you know what it could say? Mortify thereby your members which are on the earth. Because that's how you mortify the flesh. He comes in power and He makes you stop minding you and your flesh and your law keeping and your religious works and all the things you're doing. That's to live unto ourselves. He makes us stop doing that, and He makes us mind spiritual things. He makes us mind Christ and what He's accomplished for us. That's what He does. And so Romans 8 now, back in 8 and verse 6, because of this, it says there in the second part, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Whereas the carnal mind is death, to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because you own Christ your life, and you're looking on Christ your peace, And so you have life. You have peace now. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. I have life and I have peace now. And get this good news. This is what all of this means. Verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. In the Holy Spirit. In God the Holy Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. But do you see this good news? When you're born of God, you are not in the flesh. You're not in the flesh. We are in the Spirit. We live and dwell in the Spirit because the Spirit of God dwells in us. Now, it looks to us like we live in the flesh. It looks to our brethren like we live in the flesh. But before God, we're not in the flesh. We are in the Spirit. We live in the Spirit. What does that mean? As He is, so are we in this world. As Christ is, that is how His people are in this world. 1 Peter 4, I want you to see this. 1 Peter 4, and look at verse 1. This is one of those passages that's a little difficult to comprehend, but I think you'll get it right here. He's saying, we're not in the Spirit. We're not in the flesh. We are in the Spirit. Now watch this. Where is Christ? How is Christ? If however He is, that's how we are right now. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, verse 1, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. Is that talking about Christ or me? Yes, it's talking about Christ and His people. That means just as Christ is no longer in the flesh, but in the Spirit, we're no longer in the flesh, but in the Spirit. We're no longer living the rest of our time in our flesh to ourselves, to the lusts of men. We're living now unto God by what He's done for it. We're in the Spirit living unto Him. It's the same thing He said in Philippians 3:3. We are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. You can't worship God any other way. There's no other way to worship God but in the Spirit. And we worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. John 4, go to John chapter 4, verse 22, verse 23. This is what Christ was talking about right here. John 4, 23. The hour cometh. He was talking to this. Let's look at this woman, verse 20. She said, our fathers worshipped in this mountain. You say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me. The hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a Spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And that's what our text is declaring to us. Right now, because we're born of the Spirit and the Spirit dwells in you, you're not in the flesh anymore. Now you can actually live unto God. Now you can actually worship God. You can receive spiritual things and rejoice in the things God's freely given you because you are in the Spirit. You're in the Spirit. We worship God in the Spirit, in truth. Look at Romans 8 now and look at verse 10. Here's something else that's very important now. He's saying all of that to tell us this. This is so important. Now, this is his point at the end of verse 7. He says, when our inner man's taken captive by our sin nature, through the gospel, through the hearing of Christ's faithfulness, through this gospel of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the Holy Spirit continues to free us from the law of sin and death. Now look at verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. but the Spirit's life because of righteousness. Now, right now, our body, he's talking here about our fleshly sin nature. It's still what it was before we were born of God. It's spiritually dead. It's sin. It's flesh. That's all it is. It hates God. That's all it is. And that's all it ever be. But the Spirit is in you, and there's life in you because of righteousness. Because Christ has made you righteous. That's why the Holy Spirit's come into you. That's why you have life. And that new man is said created in righteousness and true holiness. There's 1 John 3 tells us there's a new man in us which cannot sin. It's incorruptible. It's born of incorruptible seed. And it cannot sin. This is the part of you that believes. This is the part of you that loves your brethren and can't do otherwise. The problems we have is from the flesh taking us captive so that we can't do what we would in that inward man. But what he's telling us here is we never do look to ourselves or to our flesh even when that happens. Watch. Watch this. Look, go back to Romans 7. Let me show you this. Here Paul said, I delight in the, verse 22, I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, bringing me in captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Now, will worship of any kind, whether they claim to preach grace or not, they're going to tell you, you got to go back to the law and you got to do some reforming, and you've got to mortify the deeds of your flesh. You have to do that. But what does God say? Verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. The believer's body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. He dwells in us. Now, yes, when Christ returns, He's going to quicken our mortal bodies and raise us incorruptible with glorified human flesh. There's no doubt about that. But with the context here, what Paul is saying is, we're still continually delivered from our sin nature by the Spirit, quickening us in the inner man, which makes Him quicken your members so that rather than your sin nature ruling your bodily members, your inner man rules your bodily members. So he's saying to you there that you're not in the flesh now. Don't worry about that part. You're in the Spirit if the Spirit of Christ dwells in you. But if the Spirit of Christ was in you, that body's still dead. He's still dead. But now, remember, the Spirit's life because of righteousness. He's telling you, you're not under the law. There's still no condemnation. But when you see your sin nature prevail and brings you into captivity, and you have that struggle Paul's talking about in Romans 7, the way you're going to be quickened and brought out of it, Paul said, who's going to save me from this body of death? He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ. And he says here, it's the Spirit that's going to do it. The Holy Spirit's going to quicken your mortal body. He's going to do it by renewing that inward man so that your body will be controlled by your new man and not your old man. That's what he's going to do. That's what he's going to do. So here's the application now, and this is probably the most important part. Verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we're debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. We saw how we were delivered from the law of sin and death as far as the commandments go. Christ did it by His life and His death on our behalf. We saw how we're delivered from the law of sin and death, which is in our sin nature. It was by being born of this gospel, this incorruptible seed, by the Spirit of God. We saw how we're going to be continually delivered from it the same way. So he says here, we are not debtors in any way to our flesh. Our flesh has never done anything good for us. It's only been sinful. So we don't live after the flesh. We don't go back to the law. We don't try to mortify the deeds of our flesh by our flesh and by the things we do. If you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. It's through the Spirit. It's through the Spirit. Paul said, beware Lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, after fleshly things, and not after Christ, not after spiritual things. What things is he talking about? He said, if you're dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though your life is in this world, are you subject to ordinance such as touch not, taste not, and handle not? Paul's saying the fleshly things are the commandments. Touch not, taste not, handle not. These are the things that men are turning you back to your flesh with. He said, you're dead to the law. You're dead to it. So don't be tricked to going back to that and living after the flesh, because if we live after the flesh, we'll die. But if you through the Spirit, if through the Spirit you mortify the deeds of the flesh, what does that mean? Paul told the Galatians, if you go this way and you keep going back to the law, you're going to bite and devour one another and you're going to destroy one another in the name of making each other holy. He said, but if you walk in the Spirit, if you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And that's the point of Galatians 5. Romans 7 shows us what we would do in our inner man. We can't do it because of this sinful flesh. Galatians 5 said, but what that flesh wants to do, it can't do because of God the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. God the Holy Spirit will not allow the flesh to do what it would otherwise do. It's only the Spirit that mortifies the deeds of our flesh, not us. The Spirit has to do it. And He's going to make you look to Christ. Look to Him. But how do we walk in the Spirit? How do we, through the Spirit, mortify the deeds of our flesh? How do we walk in the Spirit? Remember what Paul said in Galatians 3? He said, this would I learn of you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? How was the Spirit given to you in the first place? Was it through the message that declares, teaches you to mind your flesh, the hearing of your works? Or did God give you the Spirit through hearing of Christ's faithfulness? The message of Christ and Him crucified. Well, it's through the message of Christ and Him crucified. That's how you walk in the Spirit. Immerse yourself in the preaching of the gospel. Immerse yourself in studying what you've heard. Immerse yourself in Christ the Lord. And it's through the Spirit that you'll be turned to Him. And your flesh, you'll see it as it is, for what it is. It's dead. It's not helpful. And it'll be mortified. It's through this Word. It's through this gospel. He that ministers the Spirit to you and works these miracles, does he do it through the hearing of works or the hearing of the gospel, Paul said? He does it through the hearing of the gospel. This is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, the gospel, the incorruptible seed. Now, so you immerse yourself in it. It's what Paul meant when he said, brethren, whatever, what's pure, what's just, what's lovely, what's good, think on these things. And that's what it is to walk in the Spirit. It's to hear the gospel preached and don't give attention to works messages. It's to study what you've heard. It's to walk around thinking on what you've heard. It's to not say, well, I've done that enough now. I'm going to go listen to some rap a little while. Or I'm going to go listen to this or that. Stay on the gospel. Stay on the gospel. Feed that new man. And the Holy Spirit of God makes it effectual. He's the one that makes it effectual. He even makes you be able to do that. And remember this now, we're sons, we're not slaves. Look at verse 14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. We haven't received the spirit of bondage again to fear. He's not going to send you back to the law and with fear and you got to try to mortify this thing. He's giving you the spirit of adoption, and here's how we mortify the flesh. We cry, Father, Father! Save me from this wretched man that I am. There it is. Save me. Well, preacher, what's he going to do if he's going to remind you you're a child? The Spirit bears witness with our spirit. We're children of God. Well, preacher, I can't pray. I don't feel like when I get in this way, I can't even pray. Read on down the page there, verse 26. The Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not to pray as we ought. But the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings that can't be uttered. And listen, He that searches the hearts knows what's the minds of the Spirit, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So you know what comes next? You see that He's saying, you're not going to mortify yourself by yourself. The Spirit's going to do it. Just like you were born again. He's going to do it through this gospel. He's going to make you listen to the gospel. He's going to make you go turn to spiritual things and have your mind set on spiritual things. He's going to bring you to cry out, Father, Father. And He's going to bear witness in your heart. You're a child of God. He's going to even be the one that's going to present your feeble little attempt at prayer to the Father so the Father will hear you. And the Father will. And you know what comes next? Because this is also in the context, this is what he's saying. Verse 28, and so we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And you can read it to the end. Who can be against us? You see what he's saying? It's, you don't get out of Romans 7 into Romans 8. This is our life, brethren. That war of Romans 7. But we'd never go back to the flesh. Just like we're delivered from the law by Christ on the cross, we're delivered from this flesh by Christ in us. And He keeps you looking to Him, looking to Him, looking to Him. It's all of Him. So read the rest of that chapter, and I hope that's a blessing to you. All right, Brother Art.